You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The Oscars are over, so what could we possibly have to think about this week, right? Well, we have Charlie Herman with us anyway to take a look at the agenda, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning.
And Dr. Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, fellow at the Center for Politics and Governance at the University of Texas and a contributor to The Nation magazine. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
You know, we just talked about Afghanistan and obviously the escalating violence there, Victoria. And I wonder if Afghanistan's actually going to play a role in the election.
What we're going to see going into the election is an electorate that is tired of being mired in this war. Our attention is on the economy. Our gas prices are rising. You know, home foreclosures are still not being tamped down like we would like to see them. So while there is an eye to the international realm, our focus as the electorate is going to be on the domestic.
All right, well, we're going to talk about the primaries in Arizona and Michigan, but Charlie, let me ask you about those gas prices, which she just mentioned a moment ago. Oil prices rose by 6% last week. Are they going to continue to rise?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
You know, the thing is, what's interesting is gas prices are always something that is the electorate is very sensitive to. If it gets too high, they can really start showing their displeasure with government, and not necessarily something that the president can fix, any president. But what's interesting is that while politicians are worried about this, both the incumbent president as well as the incoming or those who would like to be the new president, consumers don't seem to necessarily be showing a lot of concern. There was a recent consumer survey that came out that showed that it's still increased, that consumer sentiment increased. And perhaps this is because this isn't the first time that we've seen $4 a gallon gasoline. It's not to say that that's not a bad thing that won't hurt people, but we saw it in 2008. We saw it in many parts of the country last year. So there may be a little bit of we don't like these prices, but it's not the first time that
it's
we've seen
shocking
it.
It's not shocking.
And, you know, a lot of the economic indicators that are coming out, in fact, a report that came out just this morning from Business Economist finds that a lot of people, these economists included, are much more optimistic about unemployment dropping, about home sales increasing, that there's a lot of signs that the economy is pushing forward. So unless prices really go up high, this may be something that it's a bigger deal for politicians than perhaps it is for consumers.
All right. Well, that's good. That last part is good news for Obama. But let's talk about the GOP field. Arizona and Michigan obviously going to be voting tomorrow. And yesterday, Mitt Romney picked up kind of a big endorsement.
I have decided that I'm going to publicly endorse Mitt Romney. I think he's the man that can carry the day, and I'm going to get out there and work as hard as I know how to make sure that he wins Arizona.
That's Arizona Governor Jan Brewer speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. Victoria, how much weight does that endorsement carry? Will it help Mitt Romney in Arizona, where he seems to be doing fine anyway?
He's doing fine. The latest polls have him up at about 10% in Arizona. And the thing about Arizona, we think Arizona, and the first thing that pops into our head is immigration, Jan Brewer and SB 1070. But immigration is not going to be the driving issue in the GOP primary. It's going to be the pocketbook. Arizona is the state with the second largest foreclosure rate. Folks are struggling. Unemployment remains high. Actually, because of the immigration law, we lost a lot of jobs. I say we, I'm actually an Arizona native. So the voters in Arizona want to look to somebody who's an economic leader and can pull the state out of the recession that they had fallen into in 2008.
But what's interesting is that at the same time, I agree completely the economy being such a large part, but I'm thinking the Republican candidates haven't really spoken a lot about foreclosure, or when they have, Romney has basically said, let them go through the foreclosure process, let the government, you know, get out of the way.
Speaking of that.
It's just so interesting to think that this is such a crucial issue in a state like Arizona, and yet he hasn't been very supportive of particular plans. This goes to a lot of Republicans who feel that the government really shouldn't be involved in helping people with their homes. Yet at the same time, the situation doesn't get any better in places like Nevada and Arizona.
And it's that particular attitude that's actually getting him into a little trouble in his home state of Michigan. He may not have come up with the headline, but his op-ed was called Let Detroit Go Bankrupt. So, Victoria, actually, Mitt Romney has stood by his op-ed and his thought that the automaker should have gone through a bankruptcy. Here he is on Fox News Sunday.
When the CEOs of these companies went to Washington asking for, what, $50 billion, I said, don't give them the money. Instead, have them go through a managed bankruptcy. And if they need help after that bankruptcy, then the government can help with guarantees and guarantees on warranties.
And Rick Santorum at this point is claiming that he's going to win in Michigan. Do either one of you buy that, Charlie?
Well, I find it's like revisionist history. I mean, at that time, the auto industry was desperately trying to get financing to go through a managed bankruptcy procedure, and they couldn't get it. So the fact that here's somebody who understands that procedure better than anybody, what to do with companies that are in bankruptcy, how you have to finance them, to sort of say, oh, they should have gone into bankruptcy and the government could come in later, that was kind of the attitude towards Lehman Brothers, and we saw how well that turned out.
And Victoria, the auto bailout has more than 60% support in Michigan. Will this in the end cost him his home state?
Well, in general, it has support. If this were the general election, Michigan voters would not be happy with this stance. But remember, this is a primary. So we're looking at Michigan Republican voters.
We may have lost Victoria. That's a Victoria DeFrancesco Soto fellow at the Center for Politics and Governance at the University of Texas and contributor to The Nation magazine. Let's talk before we go, Charlie, about Europe.
Again,
Let's not forget Europe. And there is another offer for loans to European banks. Yet another. You may lose track.
There's a whole round of things this week. So right. Germany today is going to be voting on the bailout for Greece, whether or not they will accept it. This comes after this weekend meeting of a lot of the world's biggest economies, the G20, basically telling Europe, look, we're not going to give you any more money to stabilize your situation until you sort of figure out internally what you guys are doing, until you get a more approved bailout package. So there's a little bit of pressure on Germany, who's been really the stickler in a lot of these bailout negotiations for Greece, to come to some sort of decision about whether or not they're going to provide the funds to keep Greece and this bailout fund going. The other thing is, on Wednesday, the European Central Bank will make loans available to European banks. This is really, when they did this back in November, December, it was considered to be a huge stabilizing factor in Europe. So it's a little bit like the Federal Reserve here making money available to banks. The hope is that by a really successful operation later this week, that could provide some more stability to Europe going forward.
But are they showing the signs of growth that would make us think?
Growth is we're not seeing anytime soon necessarily, but at least stabilization would be better than recession and countries falling out of the euro.
Not good, but good enough, right?
Exactly.
Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway and WNYC, and Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, fellow at the Center for Politics and Governance at the University of Texas. Thanks to both of you. That's your agenda.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.